Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 561 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am your host, Kevin Huntsberger, flying solo this week due to a lack of planning on my part, and I really was kind of struggling to even come up with a topic. I like to keep this podcast more retro or more old school, the memories, the nostalgia, those kinds of things. And sure, there's a lot going on in the world of pro wrestling in 2025 as this podcast is being recorded, but I wanted to do a throwback and go back and look at a little piece, a little nugget, a little slice of history. If you're watching, you can see behind me a display case full of action figures on the top shelf. There are a lot of LJNs. I started collecting them, and this is where I feel like my wrestling fandom, you know, I started watching regular in 1983. It was 1982 where I kind of started seeing things and watching, but really 83. And then by 84, I was all in with pro wrestling, not just WWF, but World Class, the AWA, Jim Crockett Promotions, Central States. I grew up in the St. Louis area, so caught the tail end of Wrestling at the Chase and eventually got into, you know, everything and was watching it all. And, you know, part of that, you know, as an 11, 12-year-old kid was the action figures. And I know that, I'm showing off now, you know, that Series 1, Hulk Hogan, Superfly Jimmy, Snuka, the Iron Sheik, these are the first three figures that I purchased or that I got. Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Snuka, my brother and I found on a family vacation. In Florida, we went to a little store called Pick and Save, and we each got to get one. So I got Hogan, he got Snuka, and eventually the Iron Sheik, Big John Studd, and Andre the Giant all entered into the mix that first summer of 1985. And that's why I'm doing this podcast now, because it was 40 years ago. The interesting thing that I've found with these LJN figures is on the back of them or on their feet or wherever they had done the little stamp of the year, it says 1984. Even with Series 2, which I know was in the toward the end of 1985, Rowdy Piper, I remember seeing him in the Sears Christmas catalog, comes along. And he, too, also has that 1984 stamp. I also, by the way, think Piper should have been in Series 1. They were going to just do 5. They could have split it up and done 6 and done 3 faces and 3 heels and added Piper to the Big John Studd Iron Sheik collection. But I digress. I know that I did not see these in stores until 1985. And I'm curious, others who are listening, others who were around then, I just have this weird memory thing going on where I remember kind of meaningless things like this. So it was sixth grade, which I was in sixth grade in 1984. I started sixth grade. And then by the end of the school year of sixth grade, it's, of course, 1985. And I can remember toward the end of sixth grade, a friend of mine who I'm still friends with to this day, John, who will probably be on this podcast at some point. I probably should have had him on to ask him this. But he and I were wrestling fans, and back then, it felt like there weren't a lot of wrestling fans out there. And I can remember arguing with him because he said he heard that there were going to be wrestling figures released by the WWF. And I was like, there's no way. I didn't believe him. And so, and like I said, this is why I know it was at the end of the school year, because then, like I said, that summer, probably in June, a couple of weeks later, we head to Florida and on vacation. And that was the first time I saw them anywhere. And we would go to the mall and go to the store. There was a store called Toy Chest, not far from where I grew up. And then, of course, KB Toys in Crestwood, Missouri, if anyone listening from that area remembers Crestwood Mall. But anyway, I can remember that still, that excitement of finding these hanging on those shelves and ready to purchase and ready to go. And of course, we had Snuka, my brother had Snuka, and I had Hogan, and eventually he gave up. He ended up getting the Junkyard Dog, and then I think he was done collecting. And took over the collection. He, of course, gifted me the ones that he had purchased, but everything else became birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, save my allowance, take my birthday money, and go to the store and buy them. It was just such an awesome time. If you weren't around in that period, and I guess even if you came around later, again, you knew the joy, the thrill of hunting and collecting, whether it's wrestling figures or whatever you're into, you get that kind of bug, if you will, and you want to find as many as you can. And that's, I don't have all of them. I have a lot. There's probably about a dozen or so that I am missing, when they kind of raised the prices, at least back in that day when I was, a high school student, working a part-time job, and, didn't have a ton of money to spend on wrestling figures. But the last two that I bought were the $1 Million and Ted DiBiase's over my shoulder there for watching, and Slick. And we actually found those on a trip to Canada. It seemed like finding them in the stores in Missouri, in the St. Louis area, was becoming near impossible, because the last set, the ones before that I got were Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Honky Tonk. And I ended up buying those off the back of a Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine I had an order for. And so I feel like there was a period there, probably I'd say sometime in 1988, maybe early 89, where these become much harder to find in stores. And I'm sure that the Wrestling Figure Podcast, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, those guys talked about that before, but it became virtually impossible for me to find them. And so through the years, with the help of internet and, eBay and just social media in general, I have added Adrian Adonis and Outback Jack to my collection. I bought those both, some folks on the interwebs. And then it was the King Harley Race and Kamala that I added, thanks to Scribe Pro Wrestling Superfan Denny Howell, Pro Wrestling Superfan Denny Howell. He was selling some of his collection, and he had Harley Race and Kamala. And so I did buy those. But I'm still, out in the wild, go to the flea markets every month and go to different stores and just kind of look to see. Because there are a handful that I would really like to get to finish the collection out. And I know realistically probably not going to happen, but the Ultimate Warrior, Vince McMahon, the Big Boss Man, Ravishing Rick Rude, Coco Beware, Penn Patera, Bam Bam Bigelow, Rick Martel, the Hart Foundation. Those are the ones that have eluded me that I don't have. There's a couple of others I'm sure that I probably, Billy Jack Haynes, that I don't remember all of them, but when I'm out, I look. And I'm looking for a good deal. I don't want to pay two, three, four, $500 for these figures in the wild. And then it was actually last week or 2 weeks ago, we were at the flea market, and they had, for example, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and they had the kilt still. My dog, when I was a kid, shoot, that killed him. So it's kind of in pieces. I still have it, but doesn't really fit in right. But anyway, somebody had Piper there with the kilt for $100, you know, and I wanted to be that in the wild, organic, oh wow, look at this kind of moments. And there are vendors and dealers who sell and whatnot. I just want to buy it. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it takes me back to those childhood days of going to the store and finding the new figures hanging there and ready to go. And what I liked about it back then was, you know, series one was fine. Series two, you know, and I don't remember how they broke it down, but there were never like 10 or 12 at a time that you were trying to buy. You can, there's usually three, four, five, somewhere in that neighborhood where you could get one, you know, you have the allowance or had the money to do it, you buy one or two. I can remember going to Target, for example, when I was a kid, and they had a Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, King Kong Bundy, and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff. And that ended up being my birthday gifts for that year. That would have been in 1986, I guess. So as the figures kept coming out, and, you know, yeah, they're not articulated. They are just kind of big lumps of plastic, but there's something about the nostalgia of these that just puts me in a happy place. And then, you know, WWE, or when they were with Jack Specific, they did a line, not really LJ in style. I'm not even sure how they were size-wise or comparable. No clue. But I know then a few years back, AEW Jazzwares worked to do an LJ in style figure. And I did actually break down and I bought the Cody Rhodes. And I was not a huge you know, Cody Rhodes fan at the time. He's grown on me. But I do, again, like the nostalgia. But look, it's not quite, you know, with Piper, he's about an average size LJ, and I would say. But not really. When you look at him like this, he's the Cody, the AEW version of me. It's not quite as big. Now, Big Rubber Guys by Collect Major and the Major Wrestling Paper Podcast, they have done a phenomenal job. Because, you know, when you look at the LJNs, I mean, they're okay. You know, Andre is okay. Big John Studd probably fit more in line with what Big John Studd looked like. And I do like that they did make, you know, they did give these guys a little bit of a size difference. So Big John Studd is bigger than Snuka, for example, but the Big Rubber Guys are phenomenal looking, and I have ordered one. They're pricey, and I get it. They're not mass produced like LJN were back in the day, and, you know, also it was 40 years ago, so it was like, what, $6 or $7 maybe for one of these, maybe $8. I think Cody, I think I paid 20-ish for this one. I did pre-order the Kerry Von Erich Big Rubber Guy. Kerry Von Erich is the guy, as I've talked about before on the show, who brought me to a wrestling fandom. He was my first favorite wrestler and is still on my Mount Rushmore, a favorite wrestler. So when there's an opportunity, and I, you know, and I say that, but I never did get the Mattel version of him, and I did not buy the Power Town. Because I like the nostalgia. I either like, because my collection, and I'm trying to not exceed this space, so I either buy the smaller Hasbros, which I do have the Gary Bonner Hasbro, or the Texas Tornado Hasbro, or, you know, the Micro Brawlers, Funko Mini Wrestlers that they did. I'm trying not to buy a lot of Mattel, just because it does take up real estate, and it doesn't hold the same sense of nostalgia. Now, of course, Gobbledygooker is up there, and it's my favorite figure that I have. But I say all that to say is, I kind of am, now that the you know, Collect Major, and I was tempted to purchase a few before I finally broke out and ordered the Kerry Von Erich, but I just knew, I'm like, I don't have the real estate in, and you know, at 50 bucks a pop, they're not cheap. Now I'm seeing that WWE is re-releasing and adding new LJN figures to the line. I guess it's through Mattel. LJN, I don't believe, is even around anymore, but they're going to do this hardbacking, the same kind of style. It's going to look very similar to those figures from the 80s. And you know, part of line one is a revamp of the Hulk Hogan figure. They're also going to eventually be doing the Ultimate Warrior again, which I wonder, because Ultimate Warrior is probably that most elusive figure out there. And I see that on eBay, I see it on Facebook, and you know, people that have them in their collection that are trying to sell them online are selling or asking. I don't know what they're actually getting, but they're asking for hundreds of dollars, which I'm not willing to do. That's why I'm like, I want to find this in the wild. I want to find it at the yard sale. I want to find it at a flea market, find it and not pay a ton of money for it. I wonder though, with them re-releasing, you know, the Warrior, it'll be different obviously than the original, but not much. They did a side by side of the Hulk Hogan from 85 to 2025, and it looks, you know, more realistic. It's different paint, but it, for the most part, still the same idea of the figure. So I wonder, I've thought about when the Warrior comes around, I maybe just end up doing that and kind of cheating to get my Warrior. So I'm debating, because it's $25. The LJNs that are being re-released through WWE look like they're going to be around $25. The you know, that wave one with Logan Paul, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes, so amazing looking. But again, real estate, I'm not sure that I'm how many of those I'm going to have. Definitely though, and going to get the Stone Cold, and I think he is coming out March or April, spring of 25, spring of 2026 is what the original post said. So I'll wait on that one, because what I'm going to try to do is have my Mount Rushmore in, you know, LJN or Big Brother guy form. So that's some include Steve Austin, Ric Flair, Harry Von Erich, and The Rock. So gonna need a Rock LJN, which I think eventually we'll get that. And then I don't know about Ric Flair. I know he's in Big Brother type, so I may end up breaking down and getting one of those. They have several. They're all really good. So that's kind of my thoughts with the new LJNs that are coming out. I'm excited that they're, you know, because again, it's that nostalgia. And I, by the time Jax came around, I mean, I was in my 20s, was buying them to collect and not play with. Same with Mattel. My son, when he was younger, you know, probably 15, 16 years ago, he was getting the figures, the Jack specific. I don't think Mattel, I think Mattel might have kind of come in right as he was getting out of his family. I ended up donating or giving some of his figures to a buddy of mine, Dan, who does custom belts and does big belts, and was doing some customizing figures. So I ended up giving all of those to him for that kind of thing. And I did save some of the Mattel ones that I've collected along the way. I have the Bobby Heenan and the Weasel suit. You know, it's kind of some of those things that held a little bit of sentimental value, I guess. I'm not sure. Slim Jims, I got that. And then, you know, I've been gifted a few along the way. I've saved those just out of, I do appreciate my friends do pass along figures. So, but yeah, 85, big year for wrestling. We've talked about it before, WrestleMania, of course. Later that year, the LJNs, or at least they became aware to me. This one's also kind of running concurrently with the Remco figures, the AWA was putting were more like Master of the Universe, the He-Man figures, the little muscle up guys. I had a bunch of those, and I feel like they might still be at the dad's house. I need to open it. I had some of them here and they broke. I think it was being stored in the attic for so long. And my kids did get enough to play with. I remember the road warriors, the legs breaking off. So I don't have some of them, but I feel like I have some around here somewhere. But yeah, it was just a. I've talked before about how I used my Star Wars action figures as pro wrestling figures until the elderly. And then it was like, okay, it's getting on. Of course, I have the ring. You can see if you're watching, the cage is behind me, but we got busted years. And again, real estate. But I do like looking, finding, grabbing those nostalgic figures. A friend of mine sent me a Facebook ad for a Facebook marketplace for, I think there was 12 figures. They were one, $250 for them, but they were all ones that I already had. So that's the thing, is the ones that I don't have are some of the more rare that are going to cost Haku Barbarian or Haku and the Warlord. Popped in my head too. So I know that they're out there. I'll find them eventually. I'm at a big rush. But I am looking forward to the next video of events. So that's going to kind of wrap up the 1985 talk for the summer of 85 as we are winding down the summer as well. But coming off the heels of WrestleMania and moving forward and looking to the fall. Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling Connection, or Rock and Wrestling Cartoon, came out. I know I did a podcast on that many years ago with Jason Skull. Chad and I imagine we'll maybe do a Movie Mania style podcast on that, and then a Music Mania on the very first wrestling album, also from 1985. Again, 85, a big year for my fandom, and I think for a lot of fans, it really, WWF just kind of went gangbusters, just went crazy. And again, I often wonder, had Jason had Vern gotten Ed, which to an extent AWA did, because they did the rental figures, but the JCP embraced and done more with the market, because they had so many toyetic individuals like the Rock and Roll Express, like the Four Horsemen, like Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA. I just wonder how, if their situation would have ended differently, if they would have embraced and gotten on board. And yeah, it's cartoony, and it's the stories, it's the things that get that base outside of just who's watching your wrestling product. So it's a wonderful lesson in marketing and reaching out to new audiences, expanding your audience. Now, I know for many, many years we were in that like cartoony phase, and it reflected in storylines, but as we grew up with it, I feel like it evolved, product that is, and it grew as well. So I think we'll wrap it up for this week on that topic. But I want to remind you, too, if you want to participate in the 5236 Wrestling Figure Drive, you can still make donations up until December. I believe it's that first week of December. I'm going to have an update next week, hopefully, on the Christmas in July. I just, again, it's been kind of crazy, and I have nobody to blame but myself for that. I want to thank those who did donate to Christmas in July. And I'm going to make some purchases with the funds that were raised and share that with you all very soon here as well. Thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. We will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.